The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John the Baptist appeared in the desert proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey, and this is what he proclaimed: "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I somewhat hesitate to begin my reflection in this way, but at the same time, I feel compelled to, and I respect you, my parishioners, as being of mature faith. You heard St. Peter say in the reading from the epistle that there will be a cataclysmic event corresponding with the glorious second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And every Advent, we are reminded of and we pray for the hastening of that glorious second coming, which is absolutely veiled in mystery. I acknowledge that. It is absolutely veiled in mystery. The scriptures, be they the words of our Lord from the Gospels about his second coming, or be they the apparently revealed mysteries given to, for example, St. Peter, or that which is recorded in the book of Revelation, is very mysterious, and one should hesitate to ascribe specificity to things that are veiled in such mystery, especially when our Lord says, "You know not the day nor the hour." At the same time, we believe and we are reminded every Advent that our Lord's glorious second coming is a real event, no less real than his first coming. And just as it could hardly be imagined that the prophecies of seeing God in his first coming would result in actually seeing God, being taught by him directly would result in being actually taught by him directly, I think that any preacher would do a disservice to the scriptures if he attempted to discredit that which is explicitly stated. So when St. Peter speaks of a dissolving of elements by fire, and we are this year, this Advent, the closest that we have been in a very, very long time to the possibility of a nuclear war, for we have today a regime which is actively and publicly practicing for the launch of a nuclear attack on our country. This is, of course, well known. I cannot help but think of other things that make this a unique Advent, not the least of which is that it is the 100th anniversary of Our Lady's appearance at Fatima. We recently celebrated the 100th anniversary of the miracle of the sun, and when Our Lady has appeared, she has said, my son's glorious coming is soon. I will just share with you, this is only my personal thought, I have reflected, will this be the last Advent? Will this be the Advent at which our Lord comes? Are there terrible events that are just around the corner that we always think, oh, that won't occur in my lifetime, or oh, that's only symbol? And then suddenly, just as occurred in our Lord's first coming, and everybody was caught off guard by our Lord's entrance into the world in an unexpected way, we would be caught off guard by the very second coming we profess in an unexpected way. So this, I think, of all Advents of my lifetime anyway, is certainly one in which I desire to be prepared to meet my Lord and to make straight his path to me, to use the words of St. John the Baptist. And not that I would ever discourage you from marking any Advent in that way, but those are just my personal reflections. So let's talk about this theme of making straight the way, of removing all obstacles of Jesus coming to you. For after all, he loves you. He wants to come to you. He wants to come to you. And you have the power to remove certain obstacles to that coming, to that personal coming. I would like to offer you tonight some of my own suggestions for ways that you could make this a good and holy Advent. And I would like to keep them simple and not overdo it. The first of these concerns prayer. I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to mark this Advent with some kind of what I would term a prayer ritual. This can be entirely of your own choosing, and if you would like, of your own creativity. But here are some ways that you might consider marking this Advent with more prayer in a ritual way. We handed out our little Advent prayer devotional a couple of weeks ago. If you haven't made use of that yet, a very simple way to mark the season with more prayer. Or I would propose to you, if you don't already have this as a discipline yourself, the daily praying of the rosary for the rest of Advent. Since when we pray the rosary, we meditate upon many of the mysteries that we celebrated during Advent and Christmas. We think of our Lord being baptized in the Jordan River with St. John the Baptist. We think of the Annunciation to Mary. We imagine in our mind's eye what the Nativity would have looked like, and so forth. So the rosary, a daily rosary, a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament was suggested by Deacon Holm last week. And what a wonderful and peaceful form of prayer that is, to come and sit in silence before our Lord who loves us and be with him. Holy hours are available to you in both parishes, different days and different times. Take advantage of that opportunity if you feel that the Lord is calling you to it. Another form of prayer ritual that you might take up would be some special scripture reading. Perhaps choose to read one gospel this Advent, or maybe a few of the epistles, or one of the prophetic books, such as the book of Isaiah, which plays such a large role in Advent and Christmas. I'll share with you a little prayer ritual that I've taken up. I love Advent. It's my favorite liturgical season. And I, while I do not like Montana winters, and I do not like the darkness that we have here in Montana for so much of the day, I do try to make the most of it by going to bed early during Advent so that my body wakes up early, and then I brew a pot of coffee and I go into the living room and I keep all the lights off and I just sit there in the darkness with a cup of coffee and Jesus. And I just say, Lord, I'm here with you. I want to make myself present to you. I want to wake up with you. And then I just don't say anything else. So it's just contemplative prayer. It's certainly not sophisticated or fancy, but it's so peaceful a way, I find, to begin my day in quiet with the Lord. And so use your own creativity, whatever appeals to you, but mark the season with a little prayer ritual. Oh, I should also mention, of course, the tradition of the Advent wreath, which I know that many of you families observe, lighting the candles at dinner time and then praying prayer with your children. That's wonderful, too. Secondly, let us remember the poor this Advent. It's so cold right now. It's so cold that you can barely stand it outside, isn't it? Now you're thinking to yourself, I know what you're thinking. It's so cold in this church, I can barely stand it. Why don't you turn up the heat? But outside, it is really cold. And there are real people who live in that cold. Tragically, every year in our state, there are even real people who die in that cold. 1 or 2 years ago, a man's body was discovered in a dumpster not far from here, where he had crawled in for refuge from the cold, and he froze to death there. Thanks be to God, he was discovered. In our neighboring city of Butte, their homeless shelter was closed this last year, and some good people there are scrambling to put together a makeshift homeless shelter for the people there who do not have homes and whose very lives are threatened by this cold weather. I'd encourage you, as we do as a parish, to be supportive of our warming center, which is here in our valley, supported only by donations, so that no loss of life would occur. When you're in the cold, just, you know, think of the poor and say, thank you, Lord, that I have a place to call home. I have heat. And give alms to the poor. If you haven't already, before year end, make a contribution in gratitude to God for what he's given you, for the benefit of those who don't have what you do. If you're able, you might even consider serving the poor directly in some capacity. Thirdly, spiritual reading. Perhaps you would mark this Advent by reading just one book. And as you leave Mass tonight, we will provide you with one option a new book by Dr. Scott Hahn about the events surrounding our Lord's first coming. It's a very easy read, wonderful book. But since we have a custom of giving out books at least a couple of times a year, and I'm not naive, I'm sure you all haven't read every one of them. You probably have in your own homes a selection of books from which you could choose. See which one you're drawn to and say, oh, I'll just read one book this Advent. Fourthly, I would call any who need to make the decision this Advent to remove that big obstacle to Christ's grace that you are aware of. Inevitably, there will be some who know, yes, I have something that I have never addressed, I need to, and it is a major obstacle, not a minor, a major obstacle to grace. Let this be the Advent where you say with courage, I'm done with that. And I am going to remove that so that Christ can come to me anew. That might be a sinful habit, a sinful even addiction, a sinful relationship, a sinful occupation. It could be an unconfessed serious sin. It could be that you were married outside the church, or you are in an adulterous marriage. Something big. You know if that exists, and you know what it is. One will never grow in the spiritual life until a major obstacle is removed. It's not that Jesus doesn't want to come to you with his grace. It is that you have to make the decision to remove that obstacle. You have to. And he will help you, but you have to make the choice. So if you're aware of such a thing, take the first steps this Advent to remove it. It's not easy. But make that decision. Have a conversation, if necessary, with your pastor. Go to confession, if necessary, and manifest it. Bring it to the Lord. Which brings me now to the final point. As our deacon also suggested last week, Advent, being a penitential season, is a wonderful opportunity to make a confession. That is, in fact, one of the major themes of our gospel passage. People of the whole countryside and the city were going out to John the Baptist and were being baptized by him as they acknowledged their sins. Well, you have already been baptized, and not only in water, but also in Christ's Holy Spirit. The sacrament of penance restores and renews your baptismal graces. It is as if you had just been baptized when you have made a good confession. And we all need all of the graces we can receive, right? And so, if you haven't already, go to confession this Advent. Many of you have, in fact. I've hardly had a break in the confessional in both parishes for the last 3 weeks, and I'm glad for that. Thanks be to God. You're such wonderful Christians. Reset your relationship with Jesus in that way and allow him to come to you, come into your heart in that sacramental way. So I'd like to conclude with the very poetic verses of a popular Advent hymn, which reflect this message and our scriptures for tonight's Mass. On Jordan's bank, The Baptist cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings. Then cleansed be every heart from sin. Make straight the way of God within, and let each heart prepare a home where such a mighty guest may come. For you are our salvation, Lord, our refuge and our great reward. Without your grace, we waste away like flowers that wither and decay. To heal the sick, stretch out your hand and bid the fallen sinner stand. Shine forth and let your light restore earth's own true loveliness once more. All praise the Son eternally, whose advent sets his people free, whom with the Father we adore and Spirit blessed forevermore. Amen. I hope you have a very good and holy Advent. Thank you.